Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What is going on, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Talking Halos. I'm your host today, Jared Timms, and I'm joined alongside my co-hosts, my partners in crime, Brock Davis and Nate Green. Nate, you're lagging a little bit today. I'm sure everybody's going to absolutely give you one for that, so that'll be fun. Brock, how you doing?
Hopefully I won't be laggy. I think I'm okay. I paid top dollar for that Spectrum internet, so hopefully it does me good today.
That's good. Yeah, and I don't even know what internet I have. All I know is Nate is lagging, and you're gonna have fun with that. So
with what does it matter?
No, I mean, I guess I'll ask, how are you doing? You okay?
It's fine. Let's just go.
Hey, does Boost Mobile offer internet? Is that what you're on or what?
Let's just get this done.
Oh, there he goes. He is lagging like crazy. All right, well, let's get it going, guys. Before we get going, though, as always, thank you so much for listening to this podcast here at Talking Halos, watching us as well on YouTube. Really do appreciate if you could pound that subscribe button. Before we go any further, like this if you are watching us on YouTube. If you're listening to this, of course, subscribe wherever you are listening. You can follow us on all our social medias, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. You can follow myself on Twitter, Jader_Timms, Brock at BDROX8, and Nate at NateGreen34. Guys, let's get it rolling. Little prospect talk here for you guys. I asked it on Twitter. I'm going to ask it here. I'll give Brock a second to think about it. Nate, I'll go to you first on this. We have a consensus 1-2 in the Angels org with Neto and Ohapi in some type of order. Not going to say which order, but in some type of order, 1-2 is Ohapi and Neto.
You always got to be different, don't you?
I like being different.
Yeah.
Who is your
it's Ohapi.
Who is your number three prospect?
Oh, man. This is close.
There's quite a few of them.
Yeah. It's close for me. I have two guys that I go back and forth with. Just because I think Denzer Guzman could be an absolute superstar. He's in the conversation. What we saw from Silseth last year puts him in the conversation as well. With the high fastball, with the good off speed, you know, one good splitter, an okay slider, like it could be a little bit sharper at times, things like that. But you can tell he could be
pieces are like, there.
Yeah, he could be a rotation piece.
Yes.
Because he's closer to the big leagues, and he actually might start the year in the big leagues. But because of those reasons, I'm going to say Silseth is three for me, but Guzman potential, long-term potential, I think he has the chance to be the best player of anyone in the Angels org. But for right now, where we're at, part of prospect ranking is who's closest and who's going to make the impact right now. And we know Silseth is going to make a major league impact. So Silseth is three for me.
Yeah. Interesting. I'll give you that. Some other options as well. You mentioned Silseth. Kai Bush is one of those guys. Edgar Caro, who's coming off a fantastic 2022 season. Sam Bachman, who we're seeing videos of him coming in this offseason. Looks like the velo is back up, touching 95 to 98 again, hitting that 99. I haven't seen triple digits yet, but looks like he is going to be back and healthy again, which will be real fun to see what he brings to the table. You already mentioned it. Denzer Guzman looks like he could be an absolute superstar in the making. We'll see how he does in this 2023 season, assuming he starts in high A. And then there's some other guys too. I mean, you could throw in the mix like a Nelson Rada, a Werner Blakely, I guess, but probably not. I know I got a lot of replies saying Ben Joyce. For me, I'm not in on the reliever being up that high because he is just a reliever. But if you believe that he is the next Josh Hader, then that's not an issue to put him at three then, right? So with all that being said, Brock, what do you got? Who's your number three prospect in the org?
Yeah, I'm going to piggyback off of what Nate said. I think Chase Silseth is like a dark horse rookie of the year candidate. We already talked about that, right? We talked about that last week. I think Silseth is an easy three in that kind of a plug and play there. And I think we're not going to see much, if any, of Nito this year. I know we talked about that already too. So Ohapi's going to be, I think it's going to be between him and Silseth. And I think Silseth is going to potentially start in the majors, just like Nate said. And I think that he's going to surprise a lot of people. I do. Based off what we saw last year, I think he's going to surprise a lot of people. And I think he could potentially, statistically speaking, be one of our top three starters in our rotation easily. Because, I mean, Ohtani is going to be one, obviously. And I think that two and three spots are going to be kind of a battle between Sandoval, Anderson and Silseth, in my opinion. I think Silseth has the potential to be up there for sure.
I actually have to agree with you on this one, because I think that you look around the league and there aren't going to be, there's always those starting rookie starters who, you know, come out and throw up that mid, like that high three ERA for 100 plus innings. And, you know, they get, you know, they throw 100 innings, they get 100 strikeouts and everything like that. You look at Silseth and the stuff that he brought to the table, and he has a chance to be really good. Like Nate mentioned it. You both mentioned it. He has a chance to be really stinking good. Like, he's got the upper 90s fastball. He's got the slider, which has good movement and good shape and everything like that. It could be a little sharper, like Nate said, for sure. He's got another out pitch as well, the splitter. Honestly, what he needs to get better at is first throwing strikes, but second, he needs to get more movement on the fastball, because that, when that thing flattens out, 98 is easy to hit. I know between us, it's not easy to hit, but for a professional major leaguer, 98 flat is going to be easy. That's like seeing 92 down the middle. So, yeah, with all that being said, like I do agree. I think that there's a chance that, you know, Silseth has earned the number three spot. I will agree with you guys on that. Without giving away my top prospect list, you always look at what the Angels have done well in the past. And for the longest time, they weren't developing well. Recent years, they've developed pitching very well. So if you're not going to put a pitcher at one or two, because one and two right now are better than any other options that you have, realistically, that's the case. Like the Neto and Ohapi right now are better than anybody else that the Angels have. You have to start looking at pitchers really filling up 3, 4, 5, you know, going down as far as you believe are better than those hitters. So again, without giving away anything, that's kind of where I stand. I think, you know, Silseth has earned the three spot, but you can make an argument for anybody that I mentioned there. Honestly, you really could. Like, we talked Denzer Guzman. If you've seen Guzman out in Inland Empire, he has the makings of a very, very good a good shortstop. He's going to stick at shortstop. He's already going to hit. He's already he has some power in his swing in BP. That power needs to translate to in game. He has all the makings of being really good. It's just if the Angels can develop that, and the Angels haven't developed infield, the Angels haven't developed position players in the longest time. And
you can get on time to the fastball. Like that's what it comes down to. If he can get on time to the fastball, he's gonna be a superstar.
Correct. I do agree with that. Doesn't strike out a whole lot. Gets on base a lot. Sees deep pitches. I think Guzman is that dark horse for number three for a lot of people. You guys mentioned it. Silseth has a chance to probably be the best AL starter.
He has a shot to put up Kirby / Gilbert numbers from last year. Very similar, like somewhere in the low threes, maybe.
Absolutely.
3.233, 130, 150 innings, 150 Ks to 170 Ks, somewhere in there.
Yep. Yeah. He has, again, two out pitches, the fastball and the upper nines. That's all going to play. Needs the command. You got a guy like Kai Bush. It's a lower level Reed Detmers, in my opinion. He's got the heater that he's going to spot well, and he has three other out pitches. He's got the slider, the curveball, and the changeup. The curveball plays well off the slider. The slider plays well off the curveball, and the changeup he can throw to righties and get swings and misses on. So there's that guy down there. Sam Bachman, and we already mentioned, if he can come out healthy this year, he looks fantastic this offseason, getting reports on him. In that upper nines area, which is huge for him. The slider looked good. Two sliders, by the way, two different sliders look fantastic. The changeup, which is going to be that massive third pitch for him. If he can figure out the changeup, he's going to remain a starter, and the ceiling, the sky's the limit for him. So, and then, of course, Edgar Caro, who had a fantastic year last year. We have to throw this out there. When Taylor Blake Ward comes back on again, because this is all we talk about. When Taylor, don't look at his stats this year if he is in high A. Please don't freak out about it. And this is why I'm extremely happy he's not in the top 100 either, by the way, because he's not going to hit well in high A at all. Nobody's ever hit well there. That's just kind of how it works, unfortunately. So expect him to not hit very well if he's in high A. Expect him to learn how to catch.
Plus could be good.
Yes. Expect him to learn how to catch, though. That's a big thing.
Yes, that's why he's not there for me. He can't catch right now. Nope. Yeah. He cannot catch velo. We have seen it up close and personal. He struggles with upper nines. And that's what you're gonna see. Like you've already seen like Otani's upper nines. You've seen the bullpen that they've constructed. There's gonna be a lot of guys. Silseth's upper nines. Estevez, who they signed, is upper nines. Like they've got a bunch of guys that throw really, really hard. Ben Joyce will be in the bullpen at some point. He throws really, really hard. And we've seen Caro struggle with fastballs that are hard. We've seen him struggle
with movement as well. I gotta give him that.
Well, that's fair too. We've also seen him struggle, honestly, just catching the guys that throw hard, because those guys usually aren't the most accurate pitchers. And we've seen him struggle with just like blocking the slider, with just like catching the fastball, things like that. That's why he's not three for me, especially at a position where you got to be defensively sound. If he was like an elite catcher and putting up the numbers that he did last year, he's in the top 100 easily. He's probably one or two prospect wise, like maybe like that's where he would have been at. So
he's easy three if he showed that he could catch to me.
Yeah, for sure. Easy three. And then in the conversation for one or two, if he's like a legit catcher and put up the numbers that he put up last year. But that's why he's not three for me, because I have not seen him catch the velo guys.
And then dark horse, one last dark horse for me, Nelson Arata. You look at what he did as a 16-year-old in the DSL, was the best player in the DSL by far. Just did everything right. Five-tool player. Honestly, just really can do it all. We'll see if he leans into a little bit more power here when he comes stateside this year. But I'm not going to put him three yet, just because, again, how many times have we seen somebody be really good in the DSL and not be good when they come over? It happens all the time. So let's hold tight there before we put him any higher, but he is definitely somebody to watch. So, if you're watching us here on YouTube, drop it in the comments below. Really interested to know what everybody else thinks. I threw the poll out there on Twitter as well. So with that being said, let's get on to our next topic here. The Angels, they're very, very close. We think that they have the makings of being a contender this year. Can't say that they're a World Series favorite. Can't say that they're the AL West favorite. But they could be a contender this year. Can we all agree on that? Nate, sure. Shake your head. They could be a contender. Sure. Thank you.
Just agree. Like sure is probably the best answer. Honestly. There we go.
Just say sure and roll with the punches here. So with that being said, Brock, I'll start with you here. What final moves here in the next, what do we have? 2 weeks before pitchers and catchers report. And is it three weeks before the first Angels game. 3 weeks before the first Angels spring training games, two weeks until pitchers and catchers report. What do the Angels need to do to push it over the edge to say, hey, this team is a to make Nate think that they're a contender? Let's go with that. How are we going to make Nate Jesus. Think they're a contender?
I don't know how to do it.
I don't think it's possible to make Nate think they're a contender, but let's give a little bit of hope to everybody else that this team could actually go out and win 90 games and be a legitimate contender, maybe not in the AL West, but for a wild card spot, like how they were for the first 40 something games of last season. Give us some hope here. What do they need to do?
I struggle with these questions so much because I end up on a fence of what should happen and what I want to do, or like
What do you want to do? Because I don't care what actually happens, because that's what's actually going to happen, right? Like, I want to know what you think they're going to what you want to do. Like,
well, the reason I'm saying that is because purely based off of our conversation last week about Trevor Bauer, right? Like, if I only cared about winning, that's all I cared about, I would take a flyer on Trevor Bauer, paying him the league minimum. I would trade for Ha-Seong Kim. And off the top of my head, I can't think of any other moves, especially free agency wise, as far as the remaining bullpen arms. I'm having a brain fart right now. I've seen so many names pop up lately Angels of Lincoln. It's like every other name that's in free agency right now, the Angels have been linked to, or I've checked in on them. Gary Sanchez, I mean, depending on the price, why not? Right. Catcher depth is never really a bad thing to have, especially in the Angels org. I don't really want to sign Bauer. I don't personally, but if I were a GM, I would take the flyer on it, because as far as risk versus reward goes, honestly, you can't really get much better than that if you didn't give a crap about reputation or clubhouse factorials, to be honest, because we all know the kind of impact that would have. Maybe do more harm than good. You never really know until he's in the clubhouse. But Ha-Seong Kim, I think, would be a pretty solid addition. I honestly don't really see. I know the Padres are saying they're going to move Tatis to the outfield. I don't know how that transition is going to go. And that's the only reason that Ha-Seong Kim is even relative to their roster right now. Because obviously they have Machado, they have Bogarts, and then Ha-Seong Kim and Tatis. Machado's, I think he's a free agent at the end of this year. Has an opt out, one of the two. So he would be relevant next year, but I think that would be a really good trade target for the Angels, especially if they could, if they wanted to do some type of prospect package and have a starter or a reliever thrown in there as well with them. It would take a lot, but I think it might end up being worth it, because I think Ha-Seong Kim is like under control for two or three more years or something like that. So, it's so hard, dude. And then you got to go into the talks of, are we going to extend Ohtani? You know, because if we extend Ohtani, they might not make a single more move for the rest of the year, especially when it comes to free agency. They're not going to take a flyer on a trade for a guy that's in his walk year, or they might, but it's so difficult, dude. And honestly, a lot comes down to extending Ohtani or not. A lot of it does, because we all know what kind of price that's going to demand. And that alters every other decision that they're going to make, every single one.
Yeah. So. And with the news already coming back, if Artie doesn't, think about the impact that plays on the fan base, not necessarily the org itself. And Nate, I know we just talked
about it. He doesn't care about the fan base. If he cared about the fan base, he would have sold the team 7 years ago when he knew that everyone hated him. He doesn't care about what anyone thinks about him. All he cares about is how much green he gets.
I didn't listen to last week's or your guys' podcast about it, but that should make it more likely that they extend, right?
No, Artie's because staying. Ohtani wants to win. There has been not one thing that Artie Moreno has shown Shohei Ohtani in his entire lifetime as the Angels owner that says, Shohei Ohtani, guess what? I know how to win baseball games.
So So
it's a valid point. It's a valid point.
And so why would I sign with a place where I want to win and he can't win? I'd rather.
But everybody said the same exact thing about Trout, though, right? When Trout was about to sign,
you only had to fool Mike Trout one time.
Always talked about. That's true.
You only had to fool him one time. You have to fool Shohei Ohtani twice because you had to fool him to sign with you, and then you have to fool him again to re-sign with you. You didn't have to fool Mike Trout once.
Reel it back in. We have another question at Sandy. I agree. And guys, because I know everybody says like negative Nate and all that stuff. Passion, wanting to win, right? Not negative. Passion wanting to win. Prove that you want to win to this guy, right? Like it's not negative Nate, it's passionate Nate today. So
I mean, I think we could all agree that he's already well proven that statement. That's Nate's point, right? It's already been proven. It's well proven.
Just win.
It's very true. It is. Yeah, no, just
where is the Raiders owner to just say just win, baby, win? That's all I care about.
I mean, the Raiders haven't won in like ever.
They made the playoffs. They've made the playoffs more recently than the Angels.
That's true.
Reel it in. We had another question at state. We had another question to be answered. With that being said, with the news about Artie coming out, I'm ending it here. Do not say anything else about Artie. Artie better be walking around the stadium. He better lower beer prices and he better go over the luxury tax. He doesn't need to go Steve Cohen. Nate, don't say anything. I know you want to say something. He doesn't need to go Steve Cohen. He doesn't need to go Steve Cohen or anything like that. But you need to go out and you need to actually show that you care about this team and you care about the organization. You care about the fan base. Because he hasn't been to a game since 2020, maybe 2019. I'm going to be honest. Tell me when the last time. It could have been 2021, to be honest. But he hasn't been to a game in God knows how long. I know he was at spring training last year and showed face. He hasn't done an interview for the Oregon 3 years. Like, at least just show that you care about the fans. Show that you care about everything. So with that being said.
Likes him.
Yeah. I'm not going to say that. I'm not putting the target on my back here. I got a lot of people that like me. With that being said. What I would do, and Nate,
go ahead,
to try to win you over here. I'm signing Michael Wacha. Is that a good first move? You're welcome.
That's fine. That's at least a guy who knows what a playoff game looks like.
I'm signing Gary Sanchez. I'm trading Max Stassi for a little bit of bullpen help. Are you happy with that? I don't know if it makes him a winner, but it improves the offense. It improves that it makes them a little bit deeper. They didn't go get that shortstop, but that's exactly
where I'm going with this. You know that, right?
According to you, you can't make the playoffs right now with this team because they don't have a shortstop. And I don't disagree with you by any means. There is not a shortstop out there right now that's going
to
push them in.
We don't have a guy who can play shortstop right now. Right now, if the ball is hit to shortstop, there's not a guy there to field it unless you're putting Andrew Velasquez there. Like, Luis Rengifo can play shortstop. But he can't play at a good enough level that's going to make the pitchers better.
And why?
David Fletcher can play shortstop, but he's not going to make the pitchers better. And we've got a lot of guys that get ground ball outs.
This is why I'm happy about this.
Really, really good defense.
This is why I'm happy about this roster, because this is something that I've been wanting the Angels to do for quite some time now. And Nate, I know you're not happy about it, but you went out and spent money on not necessarily the best guys, but the right guys. You went out and spent money on the right guys.
The right guy would have been a shortstop, but keep going.
Correct. But instead of spending $35 million or $30 million, whatever Correa got, you know, yes, you could have gone 20 something or for one of those other guys. You distributed it out. You got deeper, which is, if you look exactly what the 49ers did this year, went through four quarterbacks. Like it's proven throughout all of sports. Yep. You need to be deep.
But the 49ers are a different animal because they have one of the best offensive minds in football. And that guy can turn anything into.
Go make yourself a good offense.
But the problem is Kyle Shanahan knows how to develop. He's one of the best developers in all of football.
You're pushing mine. You're pushing my stuff all the way around now at this point. I said go make a good offense, and you're like, you need a good development system. We know the Angels haven't been developing very well on the offensive side of things.
Taylor Ward does not count.
I don't know what
we want to see another year of Taylor Ward,
Jared Walsh, David Fletcher, those type of guys. Like, David Fletcher is a subpar hitter. Jared Walsh has shown that he's been good for a year total in his career. Half a year, to be honest. And then who did I say? Taylor Ward was good for the first half of last year. He's shown that he can be good. Like, over the last 3 years since 2020, if you look at his stats, he's been pretty good. He's been like a 110 WRC plus, maybe 115 WRC plus guy. Plays good defense in the outfield. Like, they found something there. They did good. They were able to develop him. Yes, but like everybody else, like Joe Adell's. Everybody else that
Brandon has, Marsh until he Brandon went to the Mark Phillies.
Until he went to the Phillies. Any other top prospects? I mean, you can even go back like even farther than that. Roberto Baldacchini, if you really want to, if you really want to,
Brandon Wood,
Brandon Wood. Like, I mean, you can go back even farther, you know, than that too. And the Angels just haven't developed very well.
And Mike Trout doesn't count either, because I know a lot of people are going to say that too. But he's a phenomenon. That I feel like we didn't. What did we do to develop Mike Trout personally? What did we do?
I mean, yeah, you're not wrong. They drafted well that year, and you look at. That's what it was. So, Nate, I'll give you your opportunity.
Get a damn they're shortstop. Not gonna,
what I mean, a shortstop, like you're they, good they with need, signing Elvis Andrews.
No, Elvis Andrews is not good enough to make the playoffs. Like you
got nobody else out there.
Ahmed Rosario. I would rather run Ahmed Rosario out there every single day than run out there what we're
running. You know what the price is
going to be? I don't care what the price is. The price is, do you want to make the playoffs? The price is, do you want to make the playoffs or do you want to sit here and win 76 games again?
So if you want to win
78 games, that's fine. Then go ahead and do what you're doing. That's fine. But if you want to be a playoff team, you need a playoff caliber shortstop. Ahmed Rosario showed last year that he was a good player. He was a top-ranked prospect in the Mets system before he was traded for Francisco Lindor. He had a very good offensive year last year. He struggled defensively, but he's athletic enough where you can make something happen with him and just say, go be athletic and play shortstop. You're not going to play the shift. We're not going to put you in a certain spot. You're just going to be athletic, make plays, and move on. And yes, it's going to cost prospects. But guess what? You haven't developed a prospect in how long? So what does it freaking matter?
Would you have given up Brandon Marsh for Corey Kluber?
Probably not, because that was steep, you know, and we thought Brandon Marsh could have been really good. But now that we know that the Angels can't develop to save their lives, why not just run the risk of throwing out Joe Adell and throwing out High Bush and throwing out another guy and saying, here, we'll take Rosario on 1 year contract and we want a shot. We want a shot. Like if you don't want a shot, if you got to look at what these teams have done to be good, right? Some of these teams have had to go all in. The teams that haven't had to go all in, they've been one of the best developers, right? Atlanta has gone all in. They changed their entire outfield the year they won the World Series. They made 4 trades at the deadline to win the World Series that year.
And also has a good farm system, though.
They do. They do. But
this is Rosario's walk year this year?
What?
This is Rosario's walk year?
Yes, it is. But the Braves made 4 trades to make the World Series and win the World Series that year. The Astros made moves last year to go win the World Series. Every team that goes and wins a World Series has to make a move.
So
now some teams have to make a bigger move than others to get there because they're not as talented. Maybe they don't have the right development staff, whatever it is. The Angels are in that move where it's like, it's going to take a big move to get there. You're not the Dodgers. You can't just spit out a prospect and he's going to turn into gold, because that's what the Dodgers have done. That's what the Braves have done. That's what the Astros have kind of done. But you look at what the Mets are going to do. If the Mets are not winning the division, or if they need something to put them over the hump, they're going to move Brett Beatty if they have to win a World Series. They don't care. If they have to move Francisco Alvarez to win a World Series, they will move Francisco Alvarez. I don't think there's any chance they move Francisco Alvarez, because I don't think that's going to happen. Like, they're going to need to move him to win the World Series. But that is what Steve Cohen says. Steve Cohen says, whatever it takes to win this thing, I'm going to do. And I just don't see that with the Angels. The Angels are not in that mode where it's like, you should be in whatever it takes. Like, we should be emptying the farm system this year. We should be doing whatever it takes. With Shohei Ohtani in his last year, you need to prove to him that you want to win if you want to keep him. You need to prove to him that you will do whatever it takes to win. And if you go another year without making the playoffs with Mike Trout, Shohei Ohtani, and if you want to throw Anthony Rendon in there, you can. But if you want to go another year without those guys making the playoffs and have to hear from the media over and over again about how you guys can't win with 3 of the best players in your generation, then fine. Settle for where you're at. But these guys, like, you've got to make a big move.
In July.
That's too late. That's too late.
Because, I mean, the big move could even be now too, where it's like we're being half in, half out.
If you're waiting till July, Shohei Ohtani is going to be traded. That's going to be the big move in July.
See, here's the difference too. And
for next to nothing,
I'm gonna wrap it up here. I mean, Ohtani's gonna be worth something in July.
Yeah, he will be.
I don't know if it's gonna be
a lot, to the right team.
Yeah, he's gonna be worth something if they decide to trade him, which already shown we'll they don't like to trade those guys. I mean, we're going against, like, we're saying that if you want to keep Ohtani, right? Like, we didn't. Yeah, I want to make the playoffs. I don't care about keeping Ohtani at this point. Like, Ohtani's going to help.
But what does? Do you keep Ohtani?
By winning.
Okay, and so winning solves a lot of problems, right?
That's been the motto for
a long time. Just win, baby, win. And if that means emptying the farm system to go get a proven guy, then that's what you got to do. But you can't keep playing this what-if game. We've played this what-if game for 15 years of, oh, let's just wait for this prospect. I promise you this prospect is going to change the landscape of the entire organization. If we just wait one more year for him to be ready,
we'll be elite. The Angels don't have that prospect either, though. That's the thing. They don't have that.
But that's what everyone's saying. Let's just wait for Neto. Let's not get a shortstop. Let's wait for Neto. He'll be the savior of this franchise. Yes. If we're going to play that game, you guys are going to be disappointed.
Damn. Is that negative Nate or passionate Nate?
Passionate Nate. I want to win. I'm sick and tired of hearing about this prospect and that prospect. I love prospects. Don't get me wrong. But
that's my expertise. Come on. I love my prospects.
Prospects should be a backup plan, in my opinion. Prospects should be a backup plan.
But you can go get a guy that you know for sure can play at the major league level and help you for X amount of years. And if you don't want to trade for 1 year, guys, that's fine. Like, I don't have a problem with that. If you want to trade for a guy that has multiple years of team control, fine. That might cost you a little bit more, but it's okay because you know for sure this guy's going to be able to play at the major league level. He's going to be able to perform at the major league level, and you know exactly how much he's going to cost.
That's fine. So now we know what we need to do to make the playoffs and to make Nate happy. So just go get a shortstop and win, and I'm fine with that. So with all that being said, thank you guys so much for listening to this podcast and watching it as well. Drop a comment down below what you guys think the Angels should do to make it to the playoffs, as well as the question before, who the Angels' number three prospect is, since there's consensus top one and two up there. Don't forget to follow us on all our social medias, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. You can follow myself on Twitter, @Tim's, Nate @NateGreen34, and Brock @BDROX8. Guys, thank you so much for listening. Have a great rest of your day. We'll be right back.